Welcome to episode 19 of the Needle Movement Podcast. Today, our special guest is Jason Zatara, the founder of 1026 Media, an agency with expertise in over 8 different digital advertising platforms, including Google, Instagram, Pinterest, and YouTube. By the way, this episode was recorded on March 27th, where we discuss paid digital marketing, the importance of diversification, and what brands can do in light of COVID-19. Can't wait to dive in. I'm your host, Stephen Carl, talking to you straight from Brooklyn, New York. Now let's get on to the show. I'm thrilled to introduce special guest for this episode, Jason Zatara. Jason is the founder and creative director at 1026 Media, a Denver, Colorado-based business, where he's responsible for leading the overall direction of the agency. And during his 20-year career, he's been fortunate enough to collaborate with hundreds of companies from SMBs to Fortune 500s, including Reebok and verticals such as e-commerce, travel, health and fitness, and automotive. And recently, I overheard someone even give him the nickname, the King of Ads. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Yes, the King of Ads thing is something that I'm thinking about incorporating, but I'm not sure how I feel about it. But we'll talk about that later.
Gotcha. Yeah, it was so great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
You know, and just even in light of current events, I was just thinking of experts to bring on to help people navigate this marketing world after COVID. And just your name popped immediately into my head because it's top of mind for people in e-commerce and digital business. So we'll spend some time on COVID since that's a big topic right now. You know, but before that, to start off and learn a little bit more about you. So can you tell us about your journey to starting the digital marketing agency 1026 Media?
Yeah, of course. So 1026 Media is a digital marketing agency, but we focus primarily on paid media. So we also offer other services like SEO, email, social media. But I started the agency mostly around back in 2012. I have a pretty, I'd say, rich background. My father was in traditional radio. So I grew up around radio, TV, print, advertising, and marketing, and got into the digital space. And then in 2012, I decided to start my own agency where we focus primarily working with B2B companies, B2C companies, e-commerce, travel, really a vast array of clients. But definitely, we enjoy working in the e-commerce side. But yeah, so started the agency. Then we have been able to help some amazing clients, as you mentioned some earlier, in those spaces. And really our main goal as an agency is to help our clients either make money or save money. And that recipe has shown some great fruit over the time. And now with the new year, everything is really exciting. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, COVID came around and we can chat more about that. But yeah, so that's what our agency does. And I founded it primarily to allow myself to, be an entrepreneur and help clients.
Yeah, it's just, it's that motivation just to help, help clients achieve their bottom line. So, let's just get right into it. And I think we'll just want to talk through, since you handle a lot of different platforms, I think your experience, your broad experience, you're doing Google, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and you're doing it for a lot of different sectors. So your dashboard, I envy your dashboard. Because you're seeing this very comprehensive view of things. And that's why your perspective is very good. But let's go into paid marketing and just how, before we go into you know what, we can talk through like paid marketing and how it's changed in 2020 from how it was, say, 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, how has it changed now?
Yeah, of course. So I would say primarily around the paid media marketing side, I mean, as anyone who's listening to this probably has been already been aware of, I mean, we're living in a pay-to-play world. I mean, I used to manage a social media account a few years back to where we took them from, 6,000, 7,000 fans to 100,000 fans in less than 6 months, primarily, and we're still getting some good organic traffic. But over the since then, it's definitely been more of a pay-to-play world to be able to get the awareness that you need. And so that's where paid media lends itself, especially in the e-commerce world. And so from a paid marketing perspective, I think what we're seeing and kind of throughout all the different industries and throughout all different verticals and the services that we offer, I think a good message to take away from this session, I guess, if you will, is not one silver bullet, right? And as much as we love paid media, and we do a lot of paid media, and I think I've managed more than 10 million in ad spend alone just over the last few years. So we do a lot of paid media advertisement. So that's great. But with any media, with any channel or any service, I think it's important to look at it from an integrated approach and having multiple, kind of the multifaceted approach, right? And so, you know, paid media is great on its own, but when you couple paid media with a great email campaign, you know, things like that, that's where it kind of incorporates it more. It makes more, it paid media more, you know, powerful in that sense, but.
Gotcha. Let me go back to like pay to play, because I'm kind of curious about this. With pay to play, and that's just the idea that, you know, let's just say you have 100,000 followers on Instagram. Like what percentage of is organic traffic? Like if you have 100,000 followers and you're just relying on organic traffic, what percent of people approximately or roughly are actually seeing that content? Is it 10%? Is it 5%? Is it 2%?
It's like one, if even, it's probably one? Even really? Less than oh one. God. I mean, it's starting to become like print media, right? And no offense to print media, because it's great for different industries, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's really, I mean, it used to be, I mean, I remember managing social for the brand I was mentioning. I mean, we were getting probably 10 to 12, I'd say around 12% consistently of engagement coming from organic. And just over time with advertising, it's kind of similar. It's very, so there's social, right? So there's that social aspect, like you were talking about Instagram, yeah. Facebook, where it's definitely a pay to play world. But even Google has become even more since in the last year and a half, 2 years of that pay to play space as well. Like even you can have a great organic strategy, but someone can bid on a pay per click ad and they're right above you. So all that time and effort you spent. Yep. So that's where I get, you know, from a social, but also from a search perspective in both of those areas, we've been seeing that over, and it's been over the last, you know, 10 years. Now, again, as you mentioned, I've been in marketing without aging myself, but I already have for 20 years. And so I've been able to see a lot of different things. So it's hard to kind of encapsulate all that into a 30-minute conversation, 40-minute conversation. But from a pay-to-play world, that's where we're seeing it both from a social and a search perspective. So hopefully that helps a little bit.
Got it. Okay, so let's go to the silver bullet. Like, would someone say, so it's always, the silver bullet is a lot of times that new marketing that people get attracted to. So like, would someone see something like TikTok as a silver bullet or chatbots or something like that? Like the new sexy form of marketing?
Yep.
Like what do people sometimes think of as a silver bullet?
Well, I would say, yeah, that's definitely one, right? So, and I don't want to be negative by any means, but kind of one of those things where someone goes to a conference, right? And they come back and they want to change their entire buying process, right? Something like that. Or like you said, I mean, when I was in the automotive space, we'd have part, you know, when mobile apps, and again, aging myself, but when mobile apps were like the hot thing, right? And every car dealer, they just wanted a mobile app so they can be on the golf course telling their other, right? So that kind of thing. So yeah, there's always that challenge of, okay, this is the newest, greatest, shiniest thing, but is it right for your business? And is it, more importantly, does it match your strategy? And from when it comes to brand and communications and all that, right? So I definitely think there's areas for that new shiny object and that stuff. What I mean more silver bullet is, hey, we're going to put all of our investment into email, or we're going to put all of our investment into search, you know, paid search or social, right? Like, that's kind of what I was meaning more around that, but you're, you know, definitely more different ways of thinking about it. Mine is more, what I was alluding to is more of different service. Sometimes you'll have a web development company, right? Some of our clients have a web development company. Great, right? Then you have other clients who they'll have a social agency, or they might have a content marketing agency, or like just in the past that has come around where, you know, they have different areas of the business with different vendors or different agencies. Now, and our goal ultimately, and we've done it with clients, is let us handle that and let us be that one consistent brand voice, that brand message. And you're not reliant on one service to drive your business, especially when you have 15, 20 touch points now, research has shown before anyone takes, you know, engages with your brand. And so it's important to have that brand consistency across each of those touch points, whether that's Instagram, whether it's on your search ads, whether it's on your email marketing, right? So all those different facets, they all have to be consistent. And it's easier to be consistent when you're under one roof, whether that's in-house or with one agency.
Yeah, totally agree. So yeah, no, I really like the approach that you're talking about with integrated marketing, where it's just, you know, hand over the reins. And I think the messaging part is so important because it's not just someone who understands the Google Ads dashboard or Facebook's business manager, you know, but it's, I think with all these outreach that we're seeing, just the message that I constantly hear is how much creative drives performance. And this is the thing that like drives me nuts sometimes when I see Facebook ads where like the creative hasn't been updated for a month. It's like, no, you are not going to perform well unless you're updating creative and understanding what works. But I think, you know, going back to integrated marketing on the agency side, I mean, how do you work with clients to develop that messaging and brand voice?
You're definitely right. And I agree with you on your points that you were just sharing. So for us, it's working with the key stakeholders, the leaders of that organization, mm-hmm. of that company, and making sure that, for example, we have everything from brand guidelines to, you know, sometimes it's not what to say, it's what not to say, right? Yeah. And so having those conversations up front with our clients and saying, okay, here's your goals, here's your objectives, here's our key performance indicators per se. Mm-hmm. And then coming up with that, having that agreement from a strategy perspective first before we implement anything. So that's one of the big things we focus on as an agency too, is making sure that we have the right strategy, measure twice, cut once, right? Philosophy. And so making sure you have a consistent strategy first before you start implementing, that definitely helps from an integrated approach as well.
Measure twice, cut once?
Measure twice, cut once. Yep. It's a contract. It's like a contractor term.
Okay. So is that in terms of measuring your results?
Well, just more of like making sure you have the right strategy before you start spending money, right? So yes. I'll have sometimes people call me as a new prospect and they'll say, hey, I want to get some Facebook ads campaigns. I want to get them up tomorrow. It's like, we're probably not the right agency for you. Right. So it's like, hey, they're just going to throw stuff to the wall and hope it sticks. Right. For us, what we do is we take the time to understand our clients, their industry, their market, who their competitors are, what yeah. they're doing, what they're not doing, that kind of stuff is what I'm sharing. So having the right strategy, taking the time up front to put in that work. A lot of agencies, to be frank, they either don't know or they don't want to do it. Not a lot, but there's agencies out there who don't do that necessary upfront work because they want to just do what the client says and get launched right away. So that's where I was kind of measuring. That's why I meant the measure twice, cut once scenario is having the right strategy first. Then when you launch it, you're not having to spend a lot of money trying to figure out the yeah. right strategy, right? You're optimizing. Right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the right time to have a conversation about the creative or the brand voice is, yeah, like before you're doing a lot of ads or very committed, like it rolls down into that product market fit and that the brand voice is really speaking to benefits. How the product is going to transform the consumer. Because right. if you're not doing that, I think it's hard though sometimes because, yeah, like even we see this on the agency side where it's the brand is seeing it as someone who's running their ads versus a partner who's going to make their company more attractive to the consumer because you're going to figure out the competitors. You're going to figure out how that product matches the consumer and how they're going to really want that product.
Well, yeah. And so for example, e-commerce, right? Like anyone can sell anything. And what's really going to separate your product is going to be your brand story and why you're doing what you're doing. So not right. going back to the why aspect, but yeah. So understanding, okay, why are you doing what you're doing? What is your product? I mean, why is your product important for those? Someone, I can't remember who told me this. I wish I could, but someone said, you know, nobody gives a crap about who you are or what you do until you find a way to
Absolutely.
Relate it, right?
No one gives a shit about you. Stop talking about yourself.
Right. Unless you can find a way to relate it, right? Back to yeah. me. As a so for e-com, for example, we love to do storyboarding where we'll bring out the markers and go to whiteboard and start storyboarding. Okay, one, different sections, but it could start off by, okay, what's your brand story? What's your mission? What's your mm-hmm. why, right? And then that helps us with messaging. But then we also look at it from a journey perspective of, okay, you're selling X and your customer is Y. What's their typical journey and how do we get to Z concept, right? And so we'll storyboard all the different touch points, whether it's, so for example, we're doing Google, right? Okay, they see your ad, they go to a landing page, a product, you know, details page, you have different, right? And so we storyboard that whole thing out to really give our clients the idea, understanding, okay, here's how it's going to work. Here's how a typical customer or a potential customer not only sees our brand, but engages and interacts with our brand all the way from start to purchase, to repurchase, right? To yep. multiple purchase kind of. So that's what we really like to focus on, is that creative side, but also taking data and analytics and those type of measurements that we see from all those things I mentioned earlier and combining that with amazing creative, and when we say kick-ass creative, that separates yourself from your competitors, makes your customers say, well, I'm going to do business with them versus, you know, your competitors type of thing. So again, I want to get, you know, we can dive deep in if you want me to. I'm just trying to, some have a tendency of going down a rabbit hole, as we say around here. So I just want to keep, you know, but that's kind of what separates ourselves as well, our competitors, and allows our clients to separate themselves from their competitors is doing that upfront storyboarding strategy piece.
Like, process is an evil word because it sounds redundant, but when you talk about storyboarding and planning ahead, I think people always have the impression that great content comes from this all-nighter that a really talented copywriter came up with, or everyone sticks themselves in a room for 10 hours at the ad agency. But it just seems more and more that the real process on that is just breaking down, like, what's someone's life before they had the product and what's their life after.
Absolutely.
And, and like tying in that whole transformation and making it, because it's an emotional process. Like, you need to trigger people's emotion, but you need to know what's going on with, like, you know, with that customer to do it.
Well, yeah. And I think it's important too. Like, it's important to know, not stay in your lane per se, but knowing that who you are, because, for example, so we worked with one of our previous clients is a medical research. They're a pretty large medical research client and organization. So their messaging is going to be in their why, and, you know, their messaging and their brand is going to be completely different from, say, an e-commerce who sells home decor.
Yeah.
Right. And so I also think it's important to have somebody, whether it's an agency or somebody in-house, from that perspective, to know there's a difference. Right. And it, one size doesn't fit all in that sense, too. So having that personalization and, like you said, treating people as if they're actually people versus just numbers also helps. Right. So especially with social, like when we do audience developments, like, and that stuff is fun for us. I mean, you can tell I'm getting excited now, but like audience development for us, it's like, hey, and it's not just, hey, it's, you know, Sue's 35 and she's a mom. Her favorite color is blue. Like, that's not what it's about.
So you're just right. And you're talking about an avatar.
Like, yeah, really, like, customer
building
avatars,
personas, yeah, of saying my customer is these five people, and not just bullshitting it. You don't bullshit and like look at Google Analytics for a moment. You really like do surveys, you talk to customers, you talk to your customer service team, and then you got all this information and all this language that your customers use when they're talking about them.
Exactly.
Okay. So you were talking about like the avatar that you were, you know, for that client.
Yeah. Or just in general. So like, that's understanding the product or service that your client's offering is one component, but also understanding the audience or the potential buyers or the potential customers of that client and that product or service. Right. So yeah, diving deeper into not only who the person is, but that's the power of social, right? Is being able to identify their behaviors, their interests, as well as demographic. And not just having that, like you said, it's not a kumbaya creative meeting where we're going to sit in, like you said, 10 hours and we're come up with 15 personas that just say, oh, this is great. It looks good, right? What we do is we take those personas and we cross-reference those with the Facebook target, right, options. And we say, okay, now this is how we're going to build our audience for social, per se, right? So for example, it could be a 35-year-old female who's more affluent, who likes to travel, but also, you know, likes wildlife, for an example, right? They might be a good target. Then you have another. So depending on the service or product that our client is offering or that company is offering, usually dictates how many avatars, quote unquote. You can't see me making the quote signs, but the quote unquote avatars, or we call them buyer personas or audience, you know, buyer personas or audiences.
Right.
Like, that will dictate how many you do and how deep you go. But it's really, again, it's learning more about, and yeah, you said, like you said, if you could do focus groups, but also you just look at previous data that the companies, which unfortunately is not on have. Yeah.
Yeah. It gives you a radar.
Yeah. It gives you in a sense, also location, right? Like, do you do better in California than you do in New York or Florida or, right? I mean, or also international, you know, different countries, and looking at how people engage with your brand that way supports everything that we're talking about from a strategic perspective.
How do you get their like demographic and psychographic information? You know, when you're trying to build that persona, is that coming from Facebook?
So it depends. So if you're talking about, for example, prospecting, so if we're looking at new customers, so for e-com, you know, we're looking for new buyers, right? We're looking for more people to buy our product online. And so one way to do that through social is using, for example, Facebook, right? Since they're the largest, we'll talk through that a little bit. Understanding, so you could pull two sets, right? The data set one is who's coming to your site, who's engaging, who's not engaging, what data can you pull from your website? So like you said, GA gives you some of that demographic. You can also look at any CRMs that the client have, for example, Salesforce. or if they're using, so Salesforce is one of the more popular ones, obviously, any other CRM that might collect that data, right? So you're kind of just pulling all these different data sets and you're putting them into one document per se, right? Mm-hmm. And then what you do is you take that and you build a persona off of that, and then you take that persona and then you cross-reference it with the audience targeting options on Facebook, right?
Yep.
And then that's how you would build your target audience.
Because it's the way that you would build your lookalikes anyway, but now you're just another way to apply it.
Yeah, so this would be for prospecting. So this would be for brand new. But you can absolutely upload an email list and build lookalike off of it. But I'm talking about like from scratch, right? And building it from there. But yeah, then definitely you can build lookalike audiences, remarketing campaigns. I mean, so many things you could do off of that piece. Mm-hmm. But until you know who your audience is, how are you going to sell them, right? Like that's kind of the advertising adage and the marketing adage is you don't know who you're selling to. Same thing with competitors. If you don't know who you're competing against, how are you going to win? And so those are kind of things that we think through when we take on new clients, or as we're constantly, you know, working with clients of how to improve their campaigns and how to better, and we test a lot, you know, test. Someone tell me if you're going to fail fast, right? Like we're testing different audiences, testing different age demographics, right? So here's an example. One of our clients was like, hey, our demographic is 35 plus, and like, that's our demographic. And like, oh, that's great. I'm sure we do really well in that. But if you looked at the 24 to 35, when you look at conversion rates, right? For example, if you look in GA and you look at conversion rate, and you see that the 25 to 34 demographic is actually converting at an equal or even just maybe a higher or lower pace, then, hey, let's test that audience and see, right, what type of engagement we can have with that audience. Even though the client feels like that's their ideal audience and they could be right, why prevent somebody who's 34 from seeing your ad, right? If they meet other criteria, right? If they're still meeting an income criteria, things like that. So that's just things of sometimes you have to kind of move clients out of their own way and test different things that they might be, oh, that's really nice. So anyways.
I think most brands know their customer pretty well, but it's just like the more you know, the more you can apply it to your marketing and do it more precisely. So, and I think we all make a lot of assumptions, everyone in the room. So it's hard to, but yeah, I think you just have to embrace that.
Yeah, well, it's just, you cracked me up because I used to always tell my dad, like, just because you do it that way doesn't mean the population does it that way, right? And it's similar to that.
Yeah, so true.
We have our own bias, you know, our own biases, and our, you know, we see it through our life. Best thing I can say is kind of separate yourself from the outcome, right? And you can generally be happier in personal and business life, professional and business, in that sense of just, you know, test it. If it works, great. If not, then that's okay too. Like, at least we tried it.
Right. Like, you're not marketing to thousands or millions of people that are you. It's just you're
right, exactly.
Marketing with very different people. So let's go on to, you know, to the elephant in the room, how we apply all this marketing and branding insight. You know, now everything has some differences with the coronavirus.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What advice would you give to e-commerce brands on how to market through this?
So I would say this is don't freak out, right? I think that's the biggest challenge that we all have. Mm-hmm. You have a business and this is not going to be long-term, meaning it's not going to be years and years. And planning for the short-term as well as the long-term is the best advice that I can give is, as you're saying, you know, plan for the worst, hope for the best. And that's kind of what we're doing for our clients as well as our agency is that alone. And so don't turn your lights off. Don't sit on your hands. Don't cut your spend right away. I think now is a great time if you can. Continue to sell, right? And continue to market. And if you have the cash flow to continue putting towards advertising or marketing or, you know, continue to do that. If you don't, if your business is slowing, now might be a good time to take a reset. Kind of look at what your processes have been. Kind of look at, as you talked about, look at your customer base, right? Look at the product services you've been offering. Here's an example. We have clients, as we do paid media, there are some clients who are going to shift some of the paid media budget to have us writing blog posts for them. I know it's a weird shift. But hey, now would be a good time to focus on maybe more of that organic, right? Maybe optimizing your website, maybe optimizing your product listing pages, adding more reviews, right? Now would be a good time to get some of that stuff. If you're an e-commerce business, some of that stuff, make sure you have great photos, right? Maybe you add more photos, really kind of just working on your housekeeping items. And I think if you do that and you're still able to sell, you're going to be in a good situation when this all comes about. Because what you don't want to do is be those companies that just sit down and do nothing, right? Because as I'm sure you've seen, there's a lot of articles out there that talk about all the great companies that came out of the recession, 2008, 2009, right?
2009
recession. And so that's kind of the philosophy that I want people who are listening to this is like, stay positive and continue to market your business as long as you can. Just be more cognizant of where you're spending your money and what those are returning, right? And so maybe it's one of those things, maybe you shift it from Google to Facebook, or maybe, you know, shifting your money versus just stopping would be the best advice that I can provide. And then just knowing that things can change. So, you know, give it, so for example, our clients were like, hey, let's reconnect by in like 2 weeks, right? Let's, you know, working in 2 week increments and sprints. Okay, here's what we're gonna do for the next 2 weeks. Here's our short-term resolution. And then, okay, now we're gonna set our, really we're setting ourselves up to be successful once this thing passes, because it will pass. It's just a matter of time.
Right. It is a collective timeout. So that's the whole reset metaphor you were talking about fits there. Arguably, there's not, I mean, I know businesses out there that are really crazy right now because they're adjusting all their marketing plans and their creatives, because now they can't, like, you can't put the same advertisement up now from what you could put up a month ago because it just seems tone deaf, or it's just, it's applying to a different era. You know, so there's a lot of adjustments there for businesses, but I think the headspace is there to what you're talking about, where it's like, you know, oh, now's a good time to think about what's my real business model, what's my product market fit, and like, how do I make this stronger? What are the weaknesses? Because every business has blind spots.
Right.
Go ahead. So with paid marketing, how do you think it changes with COVID? Like, is it like, how about the whole, I know there's a lot of questions right now about acquisition versus retention and where, you know, where companies should focus.
Yeah. So I will say that, I want to say this too, is like, my heart goes out to all those people who have lost their jobs and all the restaurant industry and all those industries that have been deeply affected. We have clients who are in that boat. I have friends and family who are in those boats. So like, that goes without, you know, I just wanted to mention that too. And I think that's important. But I would say, going back to your question, it really depends on your industry, right? So there's little silver linings in each of the industries, but we are seeing that, for example, travel has gotten hammered, as everyone knows. Hospitality has gotten hammered. So it's interesting because since we have a blend of clients, we have some clients like those who they're not faring well. You have some that are kind of, they're okay. They're still able to do business, even if it's 50%, right? And then the third one is people who are not thriving, because that's not the right word, but like who are still able to be successful in this space. And so what I would say is, if you are in that boat, like, not, I mean, double down in a sense, right? So like, so when it comes to paid marketing and paid media, right now what we're offering to all of our clients is part of our services, and it kind of, it's in addition to what we're already providing, is an audit and a review, right? So we're going to take a deeper dive. So we optimize our campaigns constantly. I mean, we're monitoring daily, we're optimizing weekly, if not more, and that kind of stuff. But I think it's always good. This is a good time where we can stop and reset and really take a look at all that. So we're doing that for clients now. And looking at, okay, which paid media channel, it's a deeper dive than we normally take. And then that can allow us to kind of develop an updated strategy with everything going on. So that's something that we're doing for customers, for clients. And so that might be something you want to do too, as an e-commerce brand, is kind of look at, okay, have either your internal team or your agency, you know, have them do a deeper audit, you know, deeper dive into the spend, the creative, all those different aspects of that. I would definitely say, so paid media, it's tough, right? Because like you said, got to be careful with messaging, because you don't want to come across as tone deaf. And so one of the things that I would actually recommend is, not necessarily, I mean, you can increase your paid media, absolutely. And if you're in an industry, for example, like mortgage, you're being success, you know, we're seeing success there. You can put with the refinance rates and everything, other aspects of that, but continue to put your budget there and increase that budget. But I would also say, in addition to paid media, if you're not doing email, if you're not doing SEO, or if you're not spending a lot of, let's just say, you may not spending a lot of resources or budget to that, now might be a time to do that, especially email.
So diversifying your portfolio, does that mean getting involved with more channels?
Yeah, exactly. So email, you know, doing more email, doing more social media, maybe it's doing more advertising, maybe it's doing advertising if you haven't done advertising. I still think there's a value there, right? Depends on your industry. But also, like, for example, organic, like doing blog posts, right? Like, now would be a great time. You can get your next 3 months worth of blog posts done, right? Like, type of concept, right? So you're diversifying your channels, diversifying your mediums. So going back to paid versus organic versus email, those type of things. So yeah, having all the different channels firing on all cylinders is what's going to allow you. We've seen that the clients that are doing more of those services are in a better situation than someone who's just relying on one or two service to drive their entire marketing strategy.
I see that also from media consumption, and everybody has their own favorite media channel. You know, you can even look at this generationally where, you know, our parents are still using the landline.
Yep.
And some of us are still using email the way other people would be using text. But by doing it integrated, you're covering the brand voice in all the different places so that it's not just, you're not missing out on some of these demographics just in case they don't happen to be on the platform. Like email, email is amazing, is incredible ROI. And I know because I see the results sometimes. And it's just, I advise everyone to do email, especially now because it's so, the ROI is really, really good. But that being said, a lot of times there's a lot of customers who wouldn't look at that email. So that's why SMS is something that, you know, people are doing more now. By being in more channels and having some presence there, you know, it gives you an opportunity to reach people more. I'm interested about blog posts. Like, where do you think the blog posts benefit? Like, I'm thinking SEO, but I'm wondering if there's other things too on.
No, I mean, the SEO is definitely the first, mm-hmm. you know, the organic side. I mean, Google loves fresh, relevant content,
yep.
right? So having consistent blogs definitely does help. I mean, you have to, but it also goes down. So SEO primarily organic traffic. But so if you're going to do blog posts, other things you could do is, you know, optimizing your website. So as I was sharing earlier, you know, optimizing your product detail pages, if you're an e-commerce concept, or maybe it's optimizing your categories, you know, things like that, like the little stuff, maybe it's your page speed, right? Maybe you could get your page from 5 seconds to 4 seconds. So things like that, that you generally mm-hmm. maybe don't work on, that would be now would be a good time to give it some love, you know, and address those things because every little bit helps. Right now,
I guess even like the mobile, yeah, like the mobile experience too, I think it's a little bit lost in this too, where we're still a little desktop centric in the US. So people like send out emails without even looking to them on mobile. And, but actually, yeah, like related to what you're talking about and those enhancements, I think when you browse your website or you have a couple of people browse it as a visitor, it can give you a lot of ideas with product pages and like site speed. Like maybe you never noticed that your site, your product page takes 7 seconds to load because, you know, or you haven't tried it from your phone. So.
Oh yeah. Or you're like, you're doing it from your T1 connection, right? Not a 3G where some of the country, part of the country might be, you know, believe it or not, or even international. Right. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Like those kind of things that a lot of times you don't really, you know, think about it. You don't give the time, and it's hard, right? Because you're constantly rolling. You know, you're rolling along, and maybe things might be going well. But I don't know. We kind of like the never settle, at, you know, attitude in that sense mm-hmm. of, you know, constantly getting better. And if you can improve one or two things here and there, like it's going to make the overall experience, you know, better. But yeah, you're absolutely. I mean, all those perfect examples of that. That's what you're sharing for sure.
I'm thinking about, I guess, with customer acquisition, if a company is thriving right now, then it's a great time for them to do acquisition because they're in a category that's not as negatively impacted. I mean, I think retention is because your customers know you is a good way to focus, you know, because they're, or like how email is a retention channel. Yeah. Or repeat.
I think also, so something important before I forget. So here's an example of what brands should be doing. So we have a home contractor that's in the New Jersey area. And we are talking, so the challenge is nobody wants you in their house, right? And so like doing a design consultation in person, or like he does home kitchen, you know, kitchen and bath and paint, he does painting as well. And so like going inside somebody's home, so we're seeing people coming to the site and they're engaging with the site, but they may not be calling right away. So I think there's a lot of shopping going on. And so what we decided to do today after our conversation, we're going to offer a virtual design consultation. Like, how cool is that? Like, pick up your phone, call us, you know, call them. We call me too, but I'll connect you. Call them, right? And talk with their design expert. Walk them around your house with your phone. You know, they can take pictures or whatever you need to do there. And so you get the design consultation virtually. I mean, there you go. And then doing the other part of it is the painting. And so he does a lot of exterior painting and doing a mobile drive-by, right? You know, estimate. Mm-hmm. They're all estimates. And so there's not many. So like, so just some, the point is how can you find, and if you're an agency listening or if you're a brand listening, mm-hmm. how can you find something that you could still do what you need to do? You're just kind of twist that a little bit more to where you can still capture leads. You can still capture product revenue. I guess the biggest point is now is the time where our clients are seeing the value of our creativity. And as a brand, you need to have that either internally or with your agency. And if they're not, to be frank, you should probably find another agency. But like now is really the time from an agency perspective where you're kind of earning your keep, if you that makes any sense. Like you're on it, right? You got to be on it. And so if nothing else, maybe that's a good takeaway for people is get creative. Continue, like, for example, restaurants did the takeout and delivery. That's good. If you're a contractor, do the virtual side, right? Anything you can do virtually that you can't do in person. Like, so again, side note, but just that's something that I thought was important.
We are seeing now like an explosion of, you know, now the new joke is not Netflix and chill, it's Netflix and Zoom.
Right, yeah.
So we are
video conferencing. So
you know, I just updated my Zoom background. It's a I think I'm gonna change it again, but we'll see. But now like they're definitely people are using virtual conferencing a lot more than they were now. And I even got, you know, I had someone prospect me who did it with a video. So instead of just sending me an email, you know, saying, hey, let's collaborate, they sent me a 50-second video of that person talking to me and wishing me well. And I thought that was a very good approach. So oh, absolutely. I think it's, so, you know, we can even use, and I think with, in light of this, you know, video, I think, is going to explode even more as a result of what's going on with COVID, because now everyone in the country around the world is put in these work at home situations and is utilizing these things. And it's, you know, the company you were talking about in New Jersey, you know, having that, you know, that virtual appointment, it gives people a context and it gives them more of a relationship than having a phone call or just sending them back an email form. It's, you know, it's more of an engagement and gets them up that ladder to conversion.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're actually coupling that with, so we're going to got by some, and I'm sharing this because I want other people to kind of think like this too. Like it's not anything proprietary and I don't think my client minds me sharing, but right. So I mean, buying gift cards of local restaurants, right. Mm-hmm. And you know, maybe whatever dollar amount it is, and then offering that to anybody who signs up for a consultation, right. Get a $50 gift card or whatever the number is to your local restaurant, because this, we're all in this together community, right? Because mm-hmm. These are local contractors. So like community is huge to them. And
right, so
being
that.
Able to offer, mm-hmm. yeah, being able to not only help the restaurant industry, help your local business, but you're also providing an extra value to anybody who wants to reach out to them. And so coupled with a video that he's going to be creating that goes out as well, on the website and through email and stuff that's talking about everything that's going on and all. So like, it's a whole different new strategy that, you know, we've been doing some of this stuff a little bit, but like based on COVID, like we had to kind of create this strategy of, okay, how do we get people now to take action when we can't go in their house? Right. And how do we also help the local community at the same time? And so it's just, I hate to say a win-win-win, like The Office, but like, you know, it sounds like Michael Scott, but like that's a win-win-win, right? Win-win-win-win, maybe, if you look at it. So just some of that stuff as a brand that you want to be thinking about and constantly trying to be creative versus just sitting on your hands.
And that's a mission-driven strategy too, because you're tying in the local restaurant into and helping them out and bringing that relationship together.
Exactly. Because we are. Whether, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, this thing doesn't care if you're rich or poor or what part of the mm-hmm. country you're in, right? Like there's no discriminating, you know, let's help each other. So it's just an idea, something that you could do, you know, the companies are doing to kind of get out there and still be able to keep their company going, also giving back and also helping community.
Yeah, it does force us to be a little more creative, which can be liberating in many ways because now you have another way to do it. And it's, you know, and we're seeing many businesses that are capable of doing that.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
And we've always done this through that type of adversity.
Oh, absolutely. It makes you stronger, right? So that's the one thing that, and if nothing else, again, we at least get, it kind of wakes everybody up to, okay, what's really important in life mm-hmm. as well as, I mean, if you're a brand or an agency, right? It doesn't really matter. I mean, try to help each other, but also we also all have to pay our bills, right? And we all have to, unless you're paying a mortgage that can be deferred for 90 days kind of thing. But like, so how can we all help each other during these times? And usually
I do think if you're not a $100 million company, that faceless corporation, you're in the latter group of that intimacy right now and community, that everyone's seeing each other's faces in an entirely different light than they did a month ago. So
yep, that's true.
You know, it's a good way to connect. All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And if people like what you're saying and are interested in finding out more about 1026 Media, how can people contact you, Jason?
Yep. So you can visit the agency website, which is 1026 Media. So it's TEN26 consultingbyjasonmedia.com. If you want to learn more about myself and my background, you can go to consultingbyjason.com. That has more contact information there, as well as phone numbers, blogs, videos I've done in the past. So those would be the quickest, easiest way. If you're on LinkedIn, which I'm sure you are, please send me a connection. Although now you need my email address. So if you do need that, just send me a quick message. Maybe through my website. I've been getting so much junk, man. It's been bad. I won't get in that tangent. So I've literally had to like cap my LinkedIn for the first time ever of like, you need to know who I am, at least in the email. But anyways, check out those websites. You know, read it. I just did another interview a couple weeks ago that tells more about, you know, like the agency, what we do, who we help that we may not have covered in today's session. But yeah, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Appreciate you reaching out. And like I said, like, we'll all get through this together and just kind of stay positive and just help each other out as much as possible.
Great. Thanks again.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. This episode is sponsored by Needle Movement. Needle Movement helps time-starved entrepreneurs and emerging brands. E-commerce, it can be overwhelming because our time is split up among so many initiatives and different responsibilities. A lot of times brands really want to do vital marketing tasks, but they just don't have time to execute them. For brands, Needle Movement focuses on email marketing services, list growth, and digital strategy, simply because we know that these are the most profitable initiatives out there. For our engagements, we execute individual email blasts, set up email automations, and we even have quote unquote done for you email marketing services where we can manage the whole program. That way you can take care of all your other responsibilities without having to worry about email. Learn more about our affordable packages by visiting needlemovement.com. Book a call today on the site and we can discuss how to make business growth easier. And last but not least, be sure to tune in next week for another new episode of the podcast.